Yes, the things we do for love. I remember when I was a junior in high school, a gal who I was friends with, I thought she kind of liked me. She gave me a mixtape. Anybody ever received a mixtape before? Remember those? She gave me a mixtape that had that song that John Cusack had played. Do you remember the song that he was playing up to his girlfriend and Say Anything? In Your Eyes. She gave me a mixtape with In Your Eyes. I was done for. We dated for 6 months after that. The things we do for love. I guarantee, I know that we have all, every single one of us has done some crazy things for love. I'll tell you about the first date I ever went on with Bridget. Not the first one-on-one date. That was at Pete's Brass Rail right here. Sat at the bar, shared a sandwich, touched knees. It was awesome. But not the first one-on-one date, the first group date. This was like, we were just getting to know each other. I kind of liked her, and I felt like she kind of liked me. There was like 30 people who went to this restaurant. It doesn't even exist anymore in downtown Walnut Creek. We sat at this huge table. I made sure that we were sitting next to each other, talked throughout the whole meal. And then bill came. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and pay for this one just to let her know, you know, just to let her know. And so paid for the meal. And then eventually I had this ride set up to where the people who met Bridget and I, they were friends, had to drop us back off where we left our cars in what is now the Smart and Final parking lot. Back then, I think it was like Albertsons. You remember that, Albertsons? So we left our cars there, so I knew we had a chance to sit and talk afterward. I mean, I planned this thing out. Say amen if you've ever planned something out like that. I was thinking ahead. So we land back in that parking lot at 11 p.m., and I was so excited because I'm like, now we're going to talk for a while and get to know each other. So we're sitting in the parking lot. I'm like, okay. At the time, I was leading young adults, college students, and high school students at this church where I worked out for many years. And the next morning, I was leading 120 high school students on a ski trip to Boreal. We were meeting at the church at 5:15 a.m. I was like, I'm in this to win this right now. So we're talking, and the conversation was so good, and I just couldn't leave. So we kept talking and kept talking. Finally, I look at my watch. It was 4:45 a.m. I'm like, we gotta go, man. So we said goodbye. We scheduled a next date. That was the Pete's date, one-on-one. And I left. She gets into her car. She drives home. I go straight to my house. I get a ski jacket, my snowboard, boots. I was waiting at Pete's, knock, 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 when it opened at 5 a.m. I'm like, ready for you right now. Grabbed a large Pete's coffee, slugged it, showed up to the parking lot at neighborhood church. All these high schoolers were like slinking in. It's 5:15. I'm like, let's go. I was fired up. And you know why? Because we do crazy things for love. All of us do. We're in a series called Love Does. Love Does. And the basis of our series, I'll just remind you, it's a verse from 1 John chapter 3 at verse 18. And here's what it says, 1 John 3 at verse 18. It says, dear children, and it'll come up here in a minute, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I put these in yellow because there's a connection, isn't there, between our love and our actions. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus talked a lot about love in Scripture, didn't he? And there was a place where he was talking with his disciples in John chapter 13 in the upper room, and he actually gave very specific instructions for them and for us on how we should love. In John chapter 13 at verse 34, this is what he says. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. And then he says this. He answers the how question. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you. Now, this is how we got our series. How did Jesus love us? Well, first of all, we know that Jesus pursues us. He seeks us out. He finds us. Luke chapter 19 at verse 10, it says, Jesus says, I have come to seek, to search for, to find the lost. Jesus serves. He says, for even I, the Son of Man, this is God in the flesh, even I, the Son of Man, didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So Jesus finds, love finds. Jesus serves, love serves. Those are the first 2 weeks of our series. And you might remember the big ideas were found people, find people. That's what we do because we're trying to love like Jesus loved. And saved people, serve people. So we're trying to serve as Jesus serves. So this week, we have a message titled, Love Gives. Jesus gave. Jesus gave. If you're a note taker, you like to jot down a few notes, and maybe it ends up in your Bible, and you look at it later, maybe it ends up on your refrigerator, you put it in a place where you see it sometimes. You might want to write this big idea at the top of your outline, and it just delineates a little bit of the difference between giving and loving, because I realize they're related. And here's what it is. It says, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving. You can give some time without loving. You can give some talent, some influence without loving. You can give treasure. You can give some money. We've all done it without loving. But you can't love without giving. Love gives. When you love, you give. We're going to take a deep dive here this morning into a verse that you've probably all seen. I realize there are people in here who, I know many of you, I see you every week, and you're like, I go to this church, I'm here week in and week out. There are probably some people here who it's your first time at CPC, so glad that you're here, not sure. Actually, I met a man coming in. It was his first time. His name's Jeff. And there are probably some others of you who this is your first time in a church, period. But I bet, whether or not it's your first time in a church or you've been here a bunch of times, I bet you've seen this verse. You might even heard a message on it. You've probably seen it up at sports games. You've probably seen it on signs. You might have seen it. It's probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, but I doubt you've plumbed the depths of this beautiful verse that talks about what love does in terms of giving, like we're going to do this morning. And it's John chapter 3 at verse 16. John 3:16. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Now I'm just going to keep this up here for a second. And then eventually we're going to break this verse up. We're going to look at the first half, what God has done. And we're going to look at the second half, what our response could be to what he's done for us in terms of what he's given for us. But if I just leave that up there for a moment, that right there is pretty much the crystallization, the most simplified picture of the gospel message. And gospel, and if you don't know what the word gospel means, you might have heard that. Gospel in the Greek literally means good news. Let's just talk about news for a second. How many of you, just by an upraised hand, still actually care about, read about, watch about, listen to the news? Just raise your hand. Many of us. Okay, great. A well-informed group here this morning. I realize that over the past 10, 15 years, the way that we take in our news has probably changed a bit. But there are some of us who, and I don't know, I'm one of these people, I just love, it's very relaxing for me to read the newspaper. I don't get to do it often. Like, how many of you you still read the news? You read the newspaper. You go, I'm old-fashioned. I'm reading the paper. I like it. That's me. I like to read the paper. Boom. Very relaxing. How many of you have changed? It's kind of like a tablet, an iPad, Samsung, something like that, Galaxy, something. Just take your news on a tablet. Okay, that's probably a third of us. How many of you, TV is still how you get your news? Many of us. How many just, it's like your phone 90% of the time? It's phone. That's a big, big group. Regardless of which group you rose your hand for, here's what I know about everybody when they're reading or watching or listening to the news. You're watching something that has happened. News is reporting events that have happened. And so when you hear like the gospel, the good news, a lot of us think, oh, this is a message about, if it's related to God, this is something I have to do. This is something that I have to accomplish. This is something that I have to achieve. This is something that I have to work for. But good news, news means something has happened. That's why it's news. That's why you're reading about it. That's why you're watching it. Something has happened, you're reporting it. So the good news message, this good news message we're going to look at today is something that has happened for your benefit. Something has happened. Something has taken place. Something has been done for you and for me. Not something you have to do. Not something you have to walk into and figure out. Something has happened, and it is good news. That's why the name gospel, that's why the word gospel is ahead of it. Love, God is love. Love has given in a mighty way. Let's look at the first half of this verse, because it is profound. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Can you believe it? For God so loved, I mean, love, when you love, you give. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now, contextually, this verse is written down by John. John the apostle, he's one of the disciples. John was Jesus' best friend. We all have a best friend. We know what it's like to hang out with a best friend, to know a best friend. John was with Jesus all the time. He's referred to in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was his best friend. He spent so much time with him, so much so that at the end of his life, they came to John and they go, you gotta write this stuff down. You gotta capture this, you gotta chronicle this. No one has. We nowadays, and this was big many years ago, we wore these bracelets. It was like, what would Jesus do? Back then they didn't have the bracelets. They went to John. John, what did Jesus do? And he would tell them. And this is what he told. This is maybe the most profound thing that John wrote down in all of his writings about what God has done in his son Jesus. For God so loved the world, John says, that he gave his one and only son. Do you realize that? He gave his one and only son. God loved, and so God gave. Now, contextually, this is profound because historically, in the Greek world, in the Roman world, in the Gentile world, these are people far from God, in first century Palestine, in this area, gods didn't love people. Gods were high. Gods were mighty. Gods had to be pleased. They had to be appeased. You had to work through human behavior and hard work to avoid being punished by gods. You think of Greek or Roman mythology, you might have heard of gods like Jupiter and Zeus. These gods messed with people. They played tricks on them. They had to be pleased. It's interesting. You think about the gods back then in first century, they had to be pleased. They had to be appeased. Through hard work and human behavior, you had to work for their approval. Question. Has that much really changed? Do you have any idea how much God loves you? I'm serious. Do you have any idea how much God loves you this morning? Or have you, like I often do, listen, I was raised, not in the church, I was raised loosely Catholic. I just went to church a couple of times a year. But I grew up with it, and I don't quite know how I got it. I grew up with this idea of, in order to please God, I had to earn it. Through my behavior, through my performance, in lots of different ways, athletically, academically. I wanted to be the best. I didn't get anything but A's. And this is all kind of played in. I mean, yeah, this is part of who I am. Win. Achieve. And the goal was, and this is when I was younger, the goal was, hey, there is a God, but I gotta live up to some standards that he set. And maybe through my behavior, through my performance, and I bet you there's a lots of us, I mean, this is an A-list, affluent community. So I bet you there's some people here that, I mean, there's some achievers in here. My thing was like, if I can achieve and earn and perform up to a certain standard, I'm gonna tip the scales in my favor. God eventually is gonna look down, he's gonna go, you know, you're right. Well done. But the flip side is also true. When I was stuck in a pattern of behavior, when I was stuck in a season where I wasn't making wise choices, when I always felt like I was in a rut that I couldn't get out of, the reverse was also true. It was like, I'm in trouble here. I don't know if I can work my way out of it, but here's the thing. You might not know this morning, or you might have forgotten, because we are prone to wander and forget, even if we're church people, even if we're Christ followers. You might have forgotten the length that God has gone to show you his love. You know, God this morning, regardless of your age, stage, or church background, God, remember this, God is not concerned, he's not worried about your sins. Because he goes, I gave my one and only son to solve the sin problem. I'm not worried about you coming here going, gosh, you just don't even, pastor, you don't even know me. You don't know about my past. God is not worried about your past because he gave his one and only son to pay for those. You might go, but pastor, and I know you understand finances, I know that. You might go, I have accumulated some debts. I gotta work off some debts. A good friend of mine lived in Southern California, made a lot of money, worked for a finance group. Nice house, great wife, great kids. Great life, really. In the early 2000s, got into some great deals, made a bunch of money, reinvested. And then in like 2000, 2008, 2009, a bunch of those deals went way sideways and way south, and he lost a ton of money. They invested, you know, kind of with his bosses, and it just lost him. And what happened is he racked up a ton of debt. Anybody relate to that? He just racked up a ton. And he said, no problem, I'm gonna work my way out of it. And the boss said, no, we're not even gonna time it. Just, yeah, gradually, you're gonna do more and more deals, and you just put money toward it, and you're gonna work your way out, and we're gonna be patient, and no problem. And so, but there was a problem, because then 4 years down the road, he still wasn't out. And then 5 years, and then 6 years, and then 7 years, and then 8 years. And it began to affect not just his financial well-being, but his spiritual well-being, his emotional well-being. He just felt like he couldn't shovel out of it. And so as opposed to just bringing it up and talking about it, he kind of kept it very, very, very tight. And he just made plans to make up for it. Started making plans. And so he and his wife drove to a community 100 miles away, and they said, we're gonna have to move. We're gonna have to uproot. We're gonna have to restart. I'm probably gonna have to change career. They started to make all these plans to just do something completely different. He'd been in this line of work for 20 years at the time. And he said, you know, before I do all this, I do want to just share my plans with my bosses. So we talked and we prayed before he headed into this meeting. And an amazing thing happened. He shared all this with his bosses and they go, wow. We didn't know that you still weren't out of this, honestly. And we certainly didn't know it was this much of a burden. They go, how about this? How about if we just forgive it? What if we just wipe that away, like tear that up, and establish a new payment structure? You'd stay, right? I mean, and he goes, are you kidding me? You would do that for me? And this guy walked out of that meeting with a lightness of being. It was like he unloaded a backpack, a back full, a burden of debt, literally. I think there's a bunch of people in here that still carry around those types of burdens and debts as we relate to this God who we hear about loving us so much. I know I did. Martin Luther has this great quote. He says, the default mode of the human heart is to work for it. The default mode of the human heart is to work for it. I love verses like Romans 4, verse 5. It says, but to the man or woman who does not work for it, but who trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, his or her faith is credited as righteousness. That our mindset, our default mode is to work for it. And you are great workers. But for the man or woman who does not work for it, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, his or her faith is credited as righteousness. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God says, do you realize what I've done for you? Do you realize what I've given for you? Do you realize how much I love you? God loves you and he likes you. There's a difference. He delights in you. Like a mom on a newborn baby. Like a dad watching his son or his daughter go down the field, like, go, go, she's gonna score. God is like that. You are the apple of his eye. When he comes in to get some milk, your face is on his refrigerator. That's my girl. That's my guy. That's who I did this for. I had you in mind. How will we respond? How do you respond to this? In a few minutes, I just want to be honest. I'm gonna give you a chance to respond. Just in prayer and say, gosh, the second half of the verse is so good. We'll put it up now. It says, this is kind of where we come in. It says that whoever believes in him shall not perish. So you're not going to perish because of your sins. You're actually going to have eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. We were going to perish based on the penalty for our sins, and yet those are forgiven and we have eternal life. And this is our, but whoever, that's you, whoever means whoever, believes in him. This word believe in the Greek, it's, and I won't put it up there because it's kind of funky spelling, it's a different language, Koine Greek. It's pistuo in the Greek, which it's stronger than like an intellectual belief. Like, and one of the things that qualifies it that way is this word right here, believes in. This word right here in the Greek, every other place in the New Testament, that it's pistuo en, en is the next word. And that's like an intellect, that's like you believe in something. You believe that something. We believe in Santa Claus. We believe in love. I mean, the things we do for love, we believe in it. It's not that. It's stronger. The closest human word, actually a better word, is trust. Because it's you believe into, you believe onto, you believe. It, trust is like you put the full, you believe so much that you put the full weight of your being into it. Like this is, that's not pistuo eis. It's pistuo eis. That's the Greek translation. This is that full trust. Like our response is to trust. And you might go, why is our response important? I was just thinking, we all know people in our lives that are just so generous. I mean, they just give. You know that they love you because they just give. And they give thoughtfully. They've got you in mind. My mom was the most generous person I've ever known. She gave over, she would give to, if you came, if you showed up, you were getting a gift of some kind. She gave gifts, she spoiled our boys. It was so ridiculous that, and you probably have a family member who are like, come on. But she just loved to give. And I'll tell you this about her, she was not a fan of this thing at birthday parties, it's all the rage now. It's like you pile up the gifts and then you just go through the party and then it ends. You don't open the gifts in front of people. She was not a fan of that. And it wasn't because, listen, it wasn't because she thought that was a waste of time. It was because she had such an intentionality about what she was giving towards. She waited for that moment when you opened up because she goes, did my thoughts of you, did it match what I was hoping it would? Is the response consistent with what I was thinking about when I got it? So our response to this, to God's gift. Have you ever given a gift? It's not really a gift if you don't receive it. You have this God in heaven who goes, there is a sin problem to be solved. I don't want my sons and daughters walking around with this burden of always trying to please me. I want to show them once and for all that I love them. I want to show them once and for all that I forgive them. I want to show them once and for all that I am a God who gives. So if they ever wonder, they just follow me in being a lover who gives. And so he sends Jesus, and it's like it's like this God of the universe who created the whole world and everything in it, who created 600 species of beetles. It's crazy. He comes down, and it's like you ever seen a bridegroom to be? He's got the ring. It stung to get that ring. And so now he goes down on a knee and he makes an offer and he goes, what's the response? That response is so important. Because to receive that gift goes, okay, now we've got the connection. I think there are some people in here, you've never actually responded, you've never actually received by faith, by grace. Grace means unmerited favor. The forgiveness of your sins and the start to a forever relationship with God through simple faith, belief, trust in what Jesus has done for you. And what I know, because I've been around church a long time, I've been a pastor for 20 years, what I know is that there are many of us who at a camp, in a church service, in a daily quiet time in the Word, we have given our heart to Jesus in this way. But because of what Martin Luther says, there's been forks in the path where it's like, no, this one I have to cover. I've gone too far in this area, so I gotta take care. God can cover all of those. I gotta take care of this one on my own. Jesus says, no, you don't. Give it to me. All you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me, he says. Take my yoke. Take whatever you're carrying. Unload that. Take my yoke upon thee, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So what do you say? How do we respond? Because I know there are many of us who've responded, and now we've moved away. And we think the gospel is, oh yeah, back here in my past, I said yes to Jesus, the gospel, and then I move away from that. I mature out of the gospel. No. The Bible is filled with preachers and writers like Paul preaching the gospel to people who have heard and responded to the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this. So that's how he opens chapter 15. He goes, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I've already preached to you. And then he goes three different tenses. That which you have received. You received it. Thank you. Next verse. On which you are taking your stand. Present tense. Past tense. Present tense. On which you're taking your stand. So the strength you need for life. The strength you need to forgive yourself and to forgive others. The strength you need to be patient with your children when they drive you crazy. On which you have taken your stand, that's present tense. And then future tense, by which you are being saved. It's better than future tense. It's future perfect tense. Gospel, gospel, gospel. We don't mature past it. We veer away from it. But God says, oh, don't you know? This is the heart of the Christian message. So Jesus is down on a knee. Maybe right now, maybe today is your moment to go, you know, I'm tired. I need forgiveness of sins. I would love to have a relationship with God that lasts forever. And maybe you're going, man, I trusted Jesus by faith a long time ago, but I've put some real distance between him and me. And so this is your moment to say, you know, and we're about to come to communion together. I just want to give us a chance to respond. For God so loved the world. That's you. The world for world there, it's not planets, it's people. godly people, ungodly people, people close to God, people far from God, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What do you say? Have you received that gift? Would you just going to take a moment to respond. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. I'm just going to lead us through a little prayer time here. And kind of dawned on me as I was walking in here this morning from across the street. We don't have much quiet time. We don't sit much before a holy God and just go, this is a holy moment. But maybe this is. Maybe you're ready. Maybe you're ready to enter in, to trust, put the weight of your trust on Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. Or maybe you're ready to return, to come back. If you're in that first group and you're just going, I want that. Yes, I want to receive that gift. I know he's waiting for my response. And I just want to say yes this morning. If that's you, in the quietness of your heart, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can repeat after me just a simple prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Sins in the past, sins right now, and the sins you're going to commit in the future. I believe that you gave your life for me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you died and rose again, and that you did that for me. So I give you the reins of my life. I usually like to keep these reins, but I hand them to you. Say, because of what you've done, you can be my Lord. Not just my Savior, but my Lord. And so from this morning forward, I'll do my best to follow you. I'm just going to pause in my prayer. Heads are down, eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. But I need to know who you are. So heads are down and eyes are closed. Would you just be so bold as to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Just raise your hand up. I see you, sir. Praise God for you. I see you, ma'am. Praise God for you. Let's start over here on my right. So your left. Just nice and high. If you prayed that prayer, I see you, sir. Praise God for you. Ma'am, praise God for you too. How about in the far back? Yeah, I see those hands. In the back row, praise God for you guys. Just responding to the gospel message. I see a whole family. Good. Praise God for you. How about in the center section? Just nice and high. Yep, I prayed that prayer. I see you, ma'am. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. How about over here to my far left, your right? Just, yeah, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I see you, sir. Praise God for you. Praise God for you, sir. I see you. Just, I see you in the back row. Yep, in the corner. This is beautiful. Just responding to God. So there are hands that I didn't see. God saw them all. Now just a quick moment for those of us who responded, but we've wandered away. We just want to, this is our moment to go, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming back. Lord, if that's you, just in the quietness of your heart, you can pray something like this. Jesus, I love you. I love you more than what I've been doing and how I've been acting. So forgive me of those things. Forgive me of those sins. I recommit to following you this morning. It's just as simple as that. I recommit, I rededicate to following you, to living in a way that shows my trust is primarily in you. Thank you for what you've given to me. If that's you this morning, you prayed that prayer, just heads bowed, eyes closed, just put your hand up nice and high, something like that. Many, many, many hands this morning, just responding to the gospel. Heavenly Father, what a great moment for our church to just preach the gospel based on one verse that is just a perfect picture of what you've done for us. And thank you for the chance to respond to you. You give a gift, you make an offer, you invite a response, and we know that. And so, Lord, what a great chance to just respond to you by faith here this morning. I pray that you would meet and bless and lead these men and women and children who have, by an upraised hand, showed, I'm responding to you by faith here this morning, God. We thank you for these moments and the chance to just preach the simple gospel message of a God who loves us, and because he loved, he gave. Because we know, God, we all know that we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. I thank you for these people. I love these people, and you love them too, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I just want to say a word to those of you who have been watching this message online and may have, at the end of the message, responded to that invitation to receive Christ and either trust Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life for the first time, or maybe you rededicated or recommitted your life to following Jesus. Because all of us wander, we're like sheep, all of us go away from the path that God intends for us, and it's always great to be able to come back and recommit to following Jesus. But if that's you and you're watching online, I would just want to let you know that we have a great resource for you. It's called our Yes Packet. And what it is, it's just a short book that asks and answers thoughtfully a lot of questions that you probably have as you start your journey with Jesus or as you restart your journey with Jesus. And so if you would like one of these, all you have to do is send us an email and we will get one of these. Also, you can look at this online on our website, cpcdanville.org. You can see the contents of this packet online. But if you want this physical booklet, we will send it to you in email info@cpcdanville.org, and we will get this into your hands. God bless you. I am praying for you, and thanks for responding to this message.